Friday, three Seattle City Council members introduced a proposal for a head tax on Seattle businesses who have at least $20 million in taxable growth receipts. Remember that. We're going to go back to it. The city says it would apply to 500 businesses, and the money would be used to support construction of affordable housing and shelter for homeless people. The head tax comes in addition to an estimated $1 billion being spent now in the Puget Sound region on housing affordability and homelessness. It's called a head tax because it would impose a 26-cent fee per employee for every hour they worked. There would be an additional tax on large employers of 0.7% of payroll for work done in Seattle. The tax would begin next year and last until 2020. It's not the first time that Seattle has tried to impose a head tax. A similar measure passed in 2006 to fund education, and it was repealed 3 years later. Joining us with two perspectives on this, City Council Member Mike O'Brien, one of the three council members supporting the head tax, and also Marilyn Strickland, who heads the Seattle Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce that she came to after being the mayor of Tacoma. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Mike, I want to start out with one criticism of what the head tax actually does. It taxes gross receipts of a company, and I think it's important to understand that's different than profit. Businesses where the profit margin is small, like groceries, are saying this is unfair to them. What do you respond to that?
The ability to tax corporate profits instead of gross revenues. And so, you know, constantly willing to work with the Chamber of Commerce to go to Olympia and allow us to have an income tax instead of a gross sales tax. But the reality today is this is what we have. Now, as you noted, the proposal would be an hours tax for the first 2 years, and then it would shift to a payroll tax. And the distinction there is a payroll tax would be scaled based on the cost of your labor. So a grocery store that may have a lot lower paid workforce would actually pay less under that, and a tech company who may pay their workers a lot more may pay more. So that's a goal in the longer term.
Marilyn Strickland with the Seattle Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce, would you support or not oppose an amended head tax? Is there something that could be done to make it compatible with what you think should be done?
Well, the 2,200 businesses that we represent, which is about 700,000 employees, really does not think that it's necessary to engage in any kind of taxing, whether it's a head tax or a payroll tax. And here's why. This is really a conversation about the abundance of the city of Seattle's coffers because of this boom that they're experiencing. You see construction everywhere. They have record revenues from sales tax, property tax, B&O tax, utility tax. And if dedicating more funds to combat homelessness, which is something we support, by the way, is something that's a priority for the city council, then they should be looking to their generous coffers to make that decision instead of imposing yet another tax on business.
Mike O'Brien, one thing to always ask ourselves when we're thinking about imposing new taxes is, what do we get from it? If you are to pass this and it goes into effect, you'll raise quite a bit of money to go towards affordability and homelessness. How would we measure the success of this expenditure? What will we get for that?
Sure. So the biggest chunk of the revenue would be directed towards building more affordable housing units. We already have structures in place where we fund affordable housing units. Through taxpayers, we've built thousands of units of affordable housing in the city of Seattle. Last year, we opened up an additional 250 units. This year is going to be another 350 units, but we need more. This proposal would dedicate 75% of the revenue towards additional affordable housing units, and we project we could build almost 2,000 additional units in the next 5 years from this revenue stream alone.
But what will the result of that be? Will there be more affordable housing in Seattle or less unaffordable housing? What will happen if we spend that money?
Well, what it means is that every year we will have more new affordable housing units opening up, and those are units that either people that are on the edge of becoming homeless could move into, or people that are currently experiencing homelessness and are moving through the shelter system, we can move them out of those shelters or off the streets into affordable housing so that they can get their life stabilized and be housed successfully.
Marilyn Strickland, you said you're not opposed to spending more money on these things. Well, if it doesn't come from a tax that would affect employers, where should it come from?
It should come from the generous city coffers that exist right now, and I come back to my original point. Well, one of the conversations that's happening in this is that you hear people say, well, business needs to do its fair share. And I like to remind folks that business now contributes over half into the city's general fund at $700 million a year.
Is that enough?
In addition to that, a lot of our...
That's
not accurate either. I'm sorry. The sales tax, I believe you're including that, Marilyn. And sales tax is actually a tax on consumers and the businesses collected on their behalf. But to call that a business tax is unfair.
Marilyn?
Well, there's a B&O tax that Seattle does have, and that's something that a lot of cities around the country don't have. And so whether you want to try to parse words about sales tax, the fact is that $700 million does come from the business community. But on top of that, we're not talking about necessarily, you know, does the city have the capacity? If it's a priority, the city has the opportunity to look inside its coffers right now and redirect existing funds. And one argument you will hear is, well, we can't cut back on fire and police. Fire and police do not make up 100% of city's coffers. And so there's an opportunity to prioritize it, redirect funds, and also to take a regional approach to this. Because one thing that we know is true is that homelessness is a regional problem. And it's happening across, you know, communities all over America. And so instead of having the city of Seattle take on a disproportionate responsibility for this, we should look regionally and look at the resources that exist at a regional level.
We're talking about a proposed head tax in Seattle. Basically, that would tax businesses at first for a certain amount of money, 26 cents per employee per hour, and then it would change into a payroll tax a little bit down the line. We're talking to Mike O'Brien, the city council member who's supporting this, and also Marilyn Strickland with the Seattle Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce who opposes it. Mike, another criticism of this head tax I've heard is that we're already spending quite a bit of money on this, and that even though we've increased spending by 39%, the number of unsheltered homeless has increased by 37% along the same time period. How do we know the money will be effective at dealing with this, what I think we all could agree is a grave problem?
Yeah, it's a crisis. And, you know, as Marilyn said, it's not just a city problem. It's a regional problem. It's actually a national problem. We have a national crisis. Certainly look up and down the West Coast. Our peer cities are struggling under the same immense pressure. And we do need a national solution to this. We need a national solution to the opiate epidemic. We need national federal funding for mental health care. And we need national, state, and regional solutions to this. And I am 100% behind making those happen. What I can't do is sit around and wait for years for those to materialize while people are suffering on the streets and our businesses and residents are being impacted by the presence of so many more homeless in our community. We have to take action.
I guess I want to know, Mike, is if the more money we have spent over the last 4 years hasn't worked, how do we know that more money than that will work?
You know, Ross, it's a good question, and it's a fair question. Last year, the city's investments alone helped 3,400 people exit homelessness and get into permanent housing. So we have a lot of data to demonstrate how much the money is doing, and we can point to all that. The problem is when you have thousands more people entering homelessness every year because of an underfunded mental health system, because rapidly rising rents, we are being overwhelmed. And we've taken our existing system, our existing homeless system, which had worked generally till about a decade ago, and you add these new crises on top of it, and we simply have not been able to keep up. Last summer, we opened up a couple hundred new shelter beds, and what that allowed us to do was immediately get people out of the most dangerous living situations on the street into the Navigation Center, into a new tent city, into a new tiny home village. But after about 2 months, those beds were all full, and those folks didn't have affordable housing to move on to, and so the system gets stuck once again. That's why we think adding new emergency shelter beds so that we can get more people off the street and significantly investing in more affordable housing units to get the throughput through the system working better at the scale of the problem we're facing today.
Mike O'Brien, is this proposal locked down? Is it open for amendments? Could it change?
No, we have about a month of legislative process, so we will be engaging with the public. There's a public hearing happening tonight at 5:30 at Seattle City Hall, and there'll be a number of committee meetings happening over the course of the next month. I'm hosting a town hall on May 2nd in Ballard in the evening, and so we will be looking for feedback, just like this conversation I'm having with Marilyn, and figuring out how to make this work best. And at the end of the day, it's going to take a majority of the council to vote for it.
Marilyn Strickland, can you see amendments to this that would make it amenable to you and the other people with the Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce?
So I don't see any amendments that are going to make us say we support this.
Okay.
But as we look at the entire you know, if we look at this issue in its totality, you know, Mike is right. There is a woefully underfunded mental health system, not just at the national level, at the state level. Washington State ranks low when it comes to our funding for mental health services. But I also, too, want to point out that, you know, our position as employers isn't that we don't want to help people who are homeless. We think we have a very specific role to play. And if you look at some of the data points that come back about how people find themselves homeless, you know, you have a large number of people who suffer from job loss. And so how do we as employers work with our social service agencies to say we can give people second chances to get them back on their feet? We can engage in job training and outreach to try and employ folks. And so I think the business community has a role to play. But if you look at the cumulative effect of taxes and fees and regulations on the business community, there's a reason that we had, you know, 300 business owners sign a letter to the city council saying, please don't do this. There's a reason that an additional – go ahead.
Just a final question for you, Mike. Have you counted city council heads to determine if this head tax has enough votes to pass the council?
Well, we have a process going forward, Ross. There are actually four of us that are co-sponsors of this legislation, so that's a good start. Another colleague who is not a sponsor, Councilmember Sawant, put out a press release last week saying she was very supportive of it. So, you know, we start where there's at least five people indicating support, which is a good spot to be in. But, you know, there's a process that goes through. We're going to hear from a lot of people in the next month, and people will be adapting as we get through that.
Mike O'Brien, city council member, supporting the head tax, which we've just explained, and also Marilyn Strickland with the Seattle Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce opposing it. Thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ross.
All right. Thank you.
Good afternoon. That's all for today. The Record, produced by Amina Alsadi, Allison Bruzek, Ajua Jima Brempong, Jason Pagano, and our social media producer is Bree Ripley. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to meet the Beyonce of earthquakes. Yes, seismologist Lucy Jones. Her new book is called The Big Ones. Maybe she'll bring a marching band. I'm Ross Reynolds. Thanks for listening.